Paul wrote to the brethren, or to a brother by the name of Timothy, in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. And he wrote about the scriptures being profitable for many things. And one of the things that the man of God may receive here is instruction in righteousness. In 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17, he said to Timothy, "Now all scriptures given by inspiration of God is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and instruction in righteousness." Now notice that the instruction in righteousness is that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. As we think about the Bible as a whole, we realize that this is especially true of the book of Psalms. For many of the Psalms are specifically designed to teach and to instruct. In the lesson this morning, we would like to take the time to see how the Psalms are suitable for instructing us today in the principles of righteousness and godly living. The first use of the Psalms in the New Testament is found in Jesus basing many of his teachings upon the Psalms. During the Sermon on the Mount, notice here in Matthew 5 and verse 5, Jesus says, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." Now, we say, well, what, he's not talking about the actual earth there. You know, this is the idea of the meekness inheriting eternal life. Well, notice from whence it came in Psalm 37 and verse 11. Here, David wrote, "But the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace." Now, the interesting thing about this is the word earth in the Hebrew and the word earth in the Greek both have as their one of their meanings the land. And to make it consistent with other passages of Scripture, saying inherit the land would be consistent. But there again, what do we mean by inherit the land? Well, the Jews were looking for a land for them to dwell in. And he's saying here in the Psalm that the meek shall inherit the earth or the land and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. That makes sense. Well, what about the Christian? Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Well, when we read about the earth and the disposition of the earth, we find that the earth is going to be burned up along with everything in it. So why would I want to inherit that? Well, that can't be what it's talking about. Instead, it's talking about the promised land, the home of the righteous, or heaven, if you will. So, we have two passages of Scripture, both New Testament and Old Testament, and they both have meaning within their proper context. His comments also concerning the pure in heart in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 8. He said, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." Let's look over at Psalm 24, verses 3 and 4. And notice what David wrote here. Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart. He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to an idol, nor sworn deceitfully. Now, notice David's talking here about ascending into the holy place. The holy place. This is a place that only priests go. But who can go there? He who has clean hands and a pure heart. Now, let's go back over to Matthew 5 and 8. Blessed are the pure in heart. Well, that's something he talked about right over there in Psalm 24 and 4. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Where's God? He's manifest in his holy place. That's the idea. So we see the Psalms playing against what Jesus taught over in the New Testament quite consistently. In later teachings as well, in Matthew chapter 16, verse 12, 16:27, not 12. The Son of Man will he's talking about his return. Son of Man will come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he will reward each according to his works. Well, guess what? Over in Psalm 62 and verse 12, also to you, O Lord, belongs mercy, for you render to each one according to his work. You see how the Psalms and the New Testament harmonize in these passages. Now, the New Testament writers often talk about the Psalms in various exhortations. One of them that's appealed to in Hebrews is the one from Psalm 118 and verse 6. 118 verse 6. Now listen to what it says. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Now look at Hebrews chapter 13, beginning with verse 5. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have, for he himself said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, now look for the familiarity, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear. What can man do to me? We have the same exhortation in the Psalms, do we not? James quoted Psalm 138 and verse 6. Though the Lord on high... just a second here. There it is. There we are. Though the Lord is on high, yet he regards the lowly. But the proud he knows from afar. Now, listen to what James says about this. James 4, 6 and 7. But he gives more grace. For therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, submit to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. We see that Same words coming across in the New Testament. Also, turn to Psalm number 34, verses 12 through 16. Psalm 34, verses 12 through 16. Who is the man who desires life and loves many days, that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. Now, you notice that Peter says virtually the same thing. In 1 Peter 3, beginning in verse 8, finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another, loving as brothers, be tender-hearted, be courteous, not reviling or not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing, knowing that you were called to do this, that you may inherit a blessing. For he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Now, I know that in your daily Bible readings that we periodically skip over and read in Psalms and then back and so forth. And I feel like the Psalms are refreshing, enlightening. They cause us to sometimes think about things that we should think about. And knowing where they came from, that is, the man who penned them, very often we can understand the agony of his heart. Yet we can see the hope that he holds in the Lord. And it's encouraging to us. Encouraging. But before we go any further, I want to make a couple of observations now. First of all, many of the Psalms possess basic principles of righteousness which still hold true today. As you've seen, we take the Old Testament, we see it in the New Testament, okay? Even though we live under the new covenant of Christ, these principles still hold true. Therefore, it would be appropriate for a Christian to study from the Psalms and to receive instruction in righteousness, as we noted in the beginning of our lesson. And this can be applied to our service to Christ and to God today. However, there are some principles found in the Psalms which may no longer be suitable for those who are following Christ. Just to give an example, the Psalms in which the writer calls upon God to destroy the wicked and their enemies would not be appropriate for those trying to follow Jesus' teaching today. We find in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 34, "You have heard it said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies." Now notice, this is a big difference. He says, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the just and the unjust. If you love those who love you, what reward have you? Don't even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brethren only, what do you more than others? Do not even the tax collectors do so? Therefore you shall be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect. Now, of course, remember now, perfect here is in regard to the things that he's talking about. God doesn't make distinction between the righteous and the unrighteous, makes the sun to shine on all of them, the rain to fall on all of them. Notice also in Luke chapter 27 and verse 36, Jesus says, I say unto you, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who spitefully use you. To him who strikes you on one cheek, offer the other also. And from him who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. Give to everyone who asks of you. From him who takes away your goods, do not ask them back. And just as you want men to do to you, you also do to them likewise. But if you love those who love you, what credit is it to you? Think about this now. What credit is it to you if you love those who love you? It's easy to do that, you know. But if you love those, he says, even sinners love those who love them. And he says, if you love, I lost my place on here. I'll find it. That's okay. Just mingle amongst yourselves. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do the same. And if you lend to those from whom you hope to receive back, what credit is it to you? For even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much back. But love your enemies, do good, lend, hope for nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High. For he is kind to the unthankful and to the evil. Therefore, be merciful, just as your Father also is merciful. Even so, in addition to being a guide for the Christian and learning to praise God and to pray, in addition to being a book of evidences for our faith, the Psalms can be a guide and a guide to instruction in righteousness. Now, let's take some examples of the Psalms which instruct in principles of righteousness. Let's look at Psalm 32. Psalm 32. Psalm 32, verse 1. Okay? Psalm 32, verse 1. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, and whose spirit there is no deceit. When I kept silent, my bones grew old. Through my groaning all day long, for day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My vitality was turned into the draught of summer, Selah. I acknowledge my sin to you, and my iniquity I have not hidden. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. For this cause, everyone who is godly shall pray to you in a time when you may be found. Surely, in a flood of great waters, they shall not come near him. You are my hiding place. You shall preserve me from trouble. You shall surround me with songs of deliverance." Now, this psalm was written by David after he had been forgiven of his sin with regard to his affair with Bathsheba. We learn from this the importance then of confessing our sins and the blessedness we experience when God forgives us. Truly, inspiration. Psalm 52, verse 1 through 9. "Why do you boast in evil, O mighty man? The goodness of God endures continually. Your tongue devises destruction like a sharp razor working deceitfully. You love evil more than good, lying rather than speaking righteousness. You love all devouring words, you deceitful tongue. God shall likewise destroy you forever. He shall take you away and pluck you out of your..." Yes. "God shall likewise destroy you and take you out, pluck you out of your dwelling place and uproot you from the land of the living. The righteous also shall see and fear and shall laugh at him, saying, 'Here is the man who did not make God his strength, but trusted in the abundance of his riches and strengthened himself in wickedness. But I am like a green olive tree in the house of God. I trust in the mercy of God forever and ever. I will praise you forever because you have done it. And in the presence of your saints, I will wait on your name, for it is good." Now, this psalm was written when David had been betrayed by Saul. And, of course, the false god, the Edomites, what was his, Doeg or something like that. And it teaches the futility of boastful wickedness and the peace of those who live godly lives. Again, Psalm 37, 1 through 40. Oh, there it is. "Do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the workers of iniquity, for they shall be soon cut down like grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Delight yourselves also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light, and your justice as the noonday. Rest in the Lord. Wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because the man who brings..." Do not fret. That's verse 8, right? Wicked schemes to pass. "Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret. It only causes harm." That's amazing. "For evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait on the Lord, they shall inherit the earth." Oh, I think we read that a little while ago. "For yet a little while, and the wicked shall be no more. Indeed, you will look carefully for his place, but it shall be no more. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. The wicked plots against the just and gnashes at him with his teeth. And the Lord laughs at him, for he sees his day is coming. The wicked have drawn the sword and have bent their bow to cast down the poor and needy, to slay those who are of upright conduct. Their sword shall enter their own heart, and their bows shall be broken. A little that a righteous man has is better than the riches of many wicked. Now that I find to be very comforting. Very comforting. For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholds the righteous. The Lord knows the day is of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. They shall not be ashamed in the evil time, and in the days of famine they shall be satisfied. But the wicked shall perish, and the enemies of the Lord, like the splendor of the meadows, shall vanish. Into smoke they shall vanish away. The wicked borrows and does not repay, and the righteous shows mercy and gives. For those blessed by him shall inherit the earth, but those cursed by him shall be cut off. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord holds him with his hand. Yeah, I knew that was. I have been young. Oh, I love this. I have been young, and now I'm old. There's several of us here who can say this. Yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his descendants begging bread. He is ever merciful and lends, and his descendants are blessed. Depart from evil, do good, and dwell forevermore. For the Lord loves justice and does not forsake his saints. They are preserved forever, but the descendants of the wicked shall be cut off. The righteous shall inherit the land and dwell in it forever. The mouth of the righteous speaks wisdom, and his tongue talks of justice. The law of God is in his heart. None of his steps shall slide. The wicked watches the righteous and seeks to slay him. The Lord will not leave him in his hand, nor condemn him when he's judged. Wait on the Lord. Keep his way, and he shall exalt you to inherit the land when the wicked are cut off, and you shall see it. I have seen the wicked in great... Let me find here. The wicked in great... No, that's... Just a second. 35. Oh, here it is. I have seen the wicked in great power and spreading himself like a native green tree. Yet he passed away, and behold, he was no more. Indeed, I sought him, but he could not be found. Mark the blameless man, observe the right. For the future of that man is peace. But the transgressor shall be destroyed together. The future of the wicked shall be cut off, but the salvation of the righteous is from the Lord. He is their strength in time of trouble, and the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them, because they trust in him. Now, I wanted to cut that reading down because it's so long. But every time I started to cut it, I said, no, I can't cut that part. Because this is really what our lesson is about. This is what our lesson is about. Another psalm written by David was the one upon which Jesus based, blessed are the meek. We, of course, have already noted that. But there's much to find in the Psalms concerning the principles of godly living, from instructions to the young, to the young man trying to remain pure before God. We look at Psalm 119, beginning in verse 9. How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. But with my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Your word I have, I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. Excellent. And also Psalm 71, verses 17 and 18. O God, you taught me from my youth, and this day I declare your wondrous works. Now also, when I am old and gray-headed, O God, do not forsake me until I declare your strength to this generation and your power to everyone who is to come. Now there's an interesting admonition there to those of us who are gray of head. Think about that. Indeed, there's something in it for everybody, but what is the admonition we want to keep? Study the Psalms. Meditate upon them. Don't just read them. Meditate on them. Think about them. What does this mean? And how does it relate to me? If we do this, they will help to lead us down the paths of righteousness as we serve the Lord from day unto day to day. I hope you are encouraged by this study, just a brief study, really, of the Psalms, and that you will be encouraged to go to the Psalms for comfort and strength, be able to help you from day to day. And indeed, there is a lot there for every one of us.